From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Amazon announced this week that it sold millions of Amazon Echo devices, 9 times last year's sales during the latest holiday season. The Echo and the new Google Home speaker device play you music, help you shop, and deliver information using voice recognition software. And they do that by listening. Well, a new story in the publication The Information details what may be the first ever case of police issuing a warrant for Amazon Echo data in a murder case. James Bates, the accused, had a party in the town of Benton, California, and the next morning someone was found dead in his hot tub. Police want as much data on the night's events as possible, and the Echo is part of that. Tom Dotan co-wrote the story about this for The Information. Tom, thanks for chatting. What do we know about the data that Amazon collects and keeps on Echo users?
The only thing that Amazon will actually hold on to are the things that are transmitted to its servers when it responds after you say the wake word, so Alexa or Amazon. So if you're an Echo owner, you'll kind of see that blue ring light up. And that means that it's listening to you and transmitting information to Amazon servers. Basically, everything said before the word Alexa or Amazon is not kept. Everything after it is in some form or another kept.
And what might the police learn from the Amazon Echo that was apparently in the house?
It's not clear yet. One of the things that they have looked at was the fact that there was music being streamed in and around the time that the murder could have taken place. And it's worth keeping in mind that the device kind of picks up snippets of conversations, even if it just thinks it's heard the wake word. So you can be having a normal conversation. It'll say, you know, something that sounds like the word Alexa, and the blue light will turn on, meaning that it's listening for a bit. All those snippets are stored just like a regular conversation. And so police are rightfully thinking, not only could it maybe place them in a certain time in a certain place, but also perhaps picked up parts of a conversation unintentionally that could be relevant to this pending murder trial.
What's next in this particular case?
Well, so far as I understand, in speaking to the defense on it, it should be going to trial next March. So we'll get a clearer sense as to what evidence they did or didn't glean from the Amazon Echo. I got to say, it's pretty astounding just seeing how much, you know, smart devices or internet connected devices are central to this particular trial. I really do think that it foretells a new era of forensic investigations where all of our devices can play some sort of part, you know, either in the prosecution or the defense.
Tom Dotan, he writes for The Information. Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
By the way, voice assistants and their privacy implications are featured in episode 1 of the new season of our podcast, Codebreaker. And this week, we have a whole different episode that is all about technology at the border, also in and around refugee camps. Around 80,000 people live in the Zaatari refugee camp in Jordan, near the Syrian border. There, aid organizations set up a unique system of prepaid MasterCards for refugees to pay for groceries and other goods. And then something strange happened. Dr. Carlene Maitland from the Institute for Information Policy at Penn State University has been studying technology use at the camp.
The refugees could swipe the card, much like we do in the United States. But they didn't stop there.
There was one problem with the MasterCards: black markets.
But then they quickly realized, why do you need a card?
The solution? The UNHCR, or United Nations Refugee Agency, scans refugees' eyeballs. They scan their iris. And in this way, refugees can pay for groceries.
Refugees will just both have their account debited and authenticated through the iris scan, so they won't need a card anymore.
Why do you think it's happened there but not here in the U.S.?
Anytime you have government or intergovernmental agencies are distributing goods, there's a certain power imbalance that's established. And so people who are in need are
willing to have their retina scanned, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Exactly.
Lots more of this and more stories about refugees and technology today at the website codebreaker.codes. We may not yet know what the year 2017 will bring in terms of technology, but your listener support of Marketplace guarantees we'll all be better informed and better prepared, flying cars or not. Make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. As the year draws to a close, we're doing a little looking back and looking forward on a number of tech topics. One of them, Brexit, and the impact it may or may not have on the tech scene in London. We got Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard on the line to talk it through with us. Stephen, hello.
Hello, Ben.
So before Brexit, the general predictions were that the tech industry would take a hit, but it seems like 2017, on the surface at least, won't really bear that out. Google and Facebook are opening new headquarters in London next year, so tell me about this.
Well, Google has confirmed that its new London HQ will go ahead in spite of the vote for Brexit, and that should create some 3,000 new jobs by the year 2020. And Facebook has announced its own expansion plans in the UK, saying it's going to increase its workforce here by some 50%.
I suppose worth mentioning here that these U.S. companies at least probably had these plans in the works pre-Brexit. It doesn't seem to have frightened them away either, though.
Both these companies, both Google and Facebook, say that London remains a great place for tech companies to operate in. Google's chief executive has spoken about the wealth of talent here, the educational institutions, and what he calls the passion for innovation.
Stephen, there was a strong anti-immigration element to Brexit, and Theresa May's government says it wants to end free movement from the rest of the EU. So is this going to make it difficult for U.S. tech companies operating in London to recruit talent from Europe?
If there are curbs on immigration, is it going to affect the tech sector? It's much more likely to reduce the numbers of unskilled laborers. The obvious question here, Ben, is does the U.S. struggle to recruit some of the best tech talent from around the world? It doesn't seem to. And yet, does the U.S. have free movement where people in other countries have the automatic right to come and settle and work in the U.S.? Certainly not. So
right.
I think this fear of a big dearth of skilled labor in the U.K. after Brexit may have been overblown.
European correspondent Stephen Beard. Stephen, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Ben.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.